Welcome to Zuma Worldwide's Health Education Conference Call. This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice. Please enjoy today's call.
Thanks for joining us tonight on this live call, and we've got a good call lined up for you, good topic information, especially for the month of February. And I could spend some time with a lady who is a member of Zuma's Scientific Advisory Board. She has been actually a member of the Zuma family for a very long time. I think it's been over 10 years now. We'll see if she remembers. But she is also a naturopathic doctor. She runs her own practice right out of the great state of Georgia and spends day-to-day activities in her practice helping a lot of people enjoy more health abundance and solve health issues. And that's why we're excited to always have her on these calls. She's always got such great wisdom to share with us, both from knowledge base as well as from practical application. I think tonight's going to be one of those nights for sure. So I want to make sure she's with us. Dr. Melissa Bennett, are you here?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. How are you, Melissa?
I'm doing well. We just ate some Indian food, though, and my mouth is on fire, so
That sounds delicious, and you're right. As much as I love Indian food, the spiciness is always one of the factors you have to figure in.
It was crazy because it said mild, and I'm like, what is hot? And, you know, there's hot, and then there's even Indian hot, even past that. So I'm just like, I'm just picturing a bunch of people with their heads on fire because it's just so hot. I was like, woo. But it's really good, and it has a lot of healthy – you could do a whole talk on Indian food because it has curcumin and turmeric, and in India, you know, the cancer back in the day, I don't know how it is now, but they have studies done where they don't get cancer as much as the other populace like everyone else. So I don't know if that's still true, but I have a feeling it's from all the spices because, I mean, it is really good, like all the spices they use. They can take chicken and just make it into this amazing dish that we make the same thing over and over again. But it's so good.
It's almost like they're incorporating some of that Ayurvedic medicine into their dishes.
It is, yeah. It really is. So good.
So, Melissa, I know you got a good topic for us tonight. It is the month of Valentine's and hearts, and that's a good springboard into, I think, your topic tonight.
Yeah, and before we dive in, I just wanted to make this one a little bit interactive. So if those are listening out there, you can just grab a pen and paper. Just take a few minutes to do that. And we're going to do a couple of little things. It's very simple, you know, throughout the talk. And while I'm waiting, I've got obviously 10 my corny jokes, you know, to get started. I have three of them this time. So here we go. You got to
figure out. It's normally just one, so you have three. Okay, so I will be your audience.
I know it's just too much this time, right? It's just going to be over the top. But you have to try to answer them. So I'm gonna start and see if you can do it. So, what's a heart's favorite type of shoe?
Something to do with a sole.
No, nope. Pumps.
That's good.
And you
that's
may not know what those are, right? Because hopefully.
I know they are because my wife owns some. I certainly
there
don't.
You go. Got some pumps there. And what do you call a heart in handcuffs?
Heart attack?
Close. A cardiac arrest.
Ooh, I like that. That's really good. That's pretty
and
good.
And the last one, but not the least, what did the pig say to its girlfriend?
Don't know.
Don't go bacon my heart.
Yes, that's good pig humor.
That's
awesome. Well, Melissa, as a guy who is often accused of having really bad dad jokes, I appreciate those.
Yeah, I always make them. I make them clean. I think only one time did I not accidentally do that, but I try to make them very, you know, very G. So anyway, so I hope that gave, you know, you guys some time to grab your pen. And for those who don't know me, I'm the owner of Leaf in Roswell, Georgia, and we do offer remote consultations throughout the United States. So, and I've been with Zuma, I think 10 years for sure. It's been so long. It's just been amazing because 10 years, like, you know, just went by so quickly.
Right.
It's like, whoa. But yeah, it's amazing. So I love giving these little talks here. I think they, you know, little tidbits of information that can hopefully help people on their health journey. And the cool thing that I did recently, and I may have mentioned this on the last talk, is I teamed up with a cardiologist. This man owns all of the Georgia health clinics in Georgia, and there are so many. And he's such a nice doctor. He actually even, a patient was trying to get to his office, and he sent a car out to pick this patient up and drive them to his office. I've never seen that before. I mean, that's just, I've heard of house calls, but I've never heard of Uber calls, you know, where somebody just comes and picks you up, brings you over. He's super nice. And, you know, we were talking about heart health, and I just actually went to his office with a friend of mine, and they do a lot of different scans there. And that's what we have to think about when we think about the heart, because, you know, we don't know things that are going on with the heart. We don't really think about our heart unless someone breaks our heart or we break our heart by doing the wrong things. And otherwise, it's just something we just don't even really consider that much. And, you know, there's a test that I want to tell people about that really they should get on a regular basis. Sometimes you can just get it, you know, I don't know if it's like a once a year thing or if it's like once every 3 years, but it basically is a calcium score test. And this test is like a plaque detector for your heart. So it's a special CT scan that checks your arteries for calcium buildup. And if you have calcium buildup, that can block blood flow. And the higher the calcium score, the more plaque you have, and the higher your risk for heart disease. So, and it's non-invasive, right? You don't have to put any dyes or potions, lotions, or anything like that. You just go through the scan. And I always tell patients, like, if their, you know, LDL is up, or if, you know, they have the VLDL, which is like the particle size that's, you know, too concentrated, that they should always go in and get one of these scans, because I feel like if you know there's a problem ahead of time, you're able to be more proactive. So I've been sending a lot of my patients over there to get that. And if you're over 45, you can find someone in your area that will do the test, and the test is usually covered by insurance. And if you're ever in Atlanta, I get this test at a really discounted price for like $125 per patient. So I just think it's a really good thing. I wanted to inform you guys that you should look into. And, you know, we got to look at, I know the Health Beat newsletter was about the heart. And we have to look at why our heart actually matters, because we don't even think about it. But some of the statistics are out there is that it beats 100,000 times a day. And when you figure that out, it's 35 million times a year. And I'm like, that's just mind-boggling, because we don't consciously think about it. It's just doing it, you know, because that's what it does, which is a beautiful thing. But we have to remember also that heart disease is the number one cause of death worldwide. So we can take action, though, to protect our hearts. And this is I'm going to call it an interactive moment. And I may need your help, Ken, for this. I need you to have a timer for like 15 seconds. So okay. You're going to be the go and stop guy. So and I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. So you're going to, whoever's listening there, you're going to take two fingers and you're going to put on your wrist or your neck and find your pulse. So I'm just going to give people a couple of seconds to do that. Either use your wrist or your neck and then find your pulse. And then, Kenton, when you're ready, I want you to just set the timer for 15 seconds. And I want everyone to count the beats of their heart for the next 15 seconds. So go ahead.
Okay. Everybody ready? Here we go. Start. Okay. And stop.
Okay. Now, take that number, and I want you to multiply that by 4. And it should give you your resting heart rate. So I want you to write it down. And if your heart rate is between 60 and 100 BPM, that's beats per minute, that's what it should be. If you see that it's over that for any reason, you don't need to worry about it. We're going to discuss how to improve it. But that's a nice way of checking your heart. It's just a regular thing you can do to kind of see, hopefully you're falling within that window. So that's really important. And if you're, you know, find yourself, if your heart beats over 100, if you're sitting here and your heart beats over 100, you know, that definitely is an issue. And sometimes when heart goes up, we don't look at the heart. We actually look at the thyroid, because thyroid can also cause the T3 in the thyroid actually regulates heartbeat. So a lot of people with, you've ever heard of Graves' disease, where it's a hyperthyroid, their heartbeat can be going through tachycardia. I had a patient that came in, he was a young guy, and my gosh, his heartbeat was just ridiculous, just coming out of his chest, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. And it ends up that he has Graves, which, you know, we heard of hypothyroid and then hyperthyroid. Hyperthyroid can definitely affect your heart. So if you see your heart rate over that, you definitely want to go out and get a TSH test, and then also add in a T3, 3T3, 3T4, and a TPO antibody test. So you can write that down too, because that's a really good way to understand what's going on in that area with your heart. And then we always look at, you know, you have the Heart Association, and they put out like certain diets that are the heart-friendly diet. And I look at it like heart heroes and then heart villains. And to keep it really simple, you want to look at the things that are heart heroes, and those would be, and you may want to jot these down so you'll remember what I'm going to ask you. You have berries, obviously, which are rich in antioxidants. They reduce inflammation. You have leafy greens, which help lower your blood pressure because they have higher nitrates in them. And nitrates, not nitrites. You don't want nitrates. You want nitrates. Nuts and seeds full of heart-healthy fats, which is really good, and fatty fish like salmon or mackerel. And these are loaded with the omega-3 fatty acids that we hear about, but a lot of people don't eat fish. Now, I have to say, I get to eat really good fish because we fish, and my husband caught like a record fish yesterday, and oh my gosh, it was so good. It was a striper, and it was in Lake Lanier, but there's something about when it's cold out, the fish tastes so much better, and it was so yummy. So we get to eat a lot, you know, a lot of fish. I will not eat fish, though, that's been in a lake for a long time. That's just not going to happen because I'm worried about the mercury content, but, you know, the younger fish are so good. And, in fact, if you eat one piece of salmon a week, you're getting a good amount of omega-3s just from that one piece of fish. And then the other thing we want to look for is olive oil. And olive oil actually can help balance out the cholesterol. So just looking at berries, leafy greens, nuts and seeds, fatty fish, and olive oil, those are our heart heroes right there. And then we're going to look at our heart villains. These are foods that you have to avoid. And those are processed meats like bacon, sausage. These are really high in sodium and preservatives. The only processed meat that I find that's not actually processed is boar's head, and that doesn't have the nitrates in it, and it's really good. I'm sure there's other ones out there, but that's the one that comes to mind that doesn't have all of the extra stuff that you don't want, especially, you know, when you're dealing with nitrates. They've done studies back in the day where they took little lab rats, and just by injecting them with that, they grew tumors. So we know that that is something we want to avoid as much as possible. Sugary drinks actually spike the blood sugar, and that encourages fat storage. In fact, when insulin goes up, you do not burn fat. So, you know, keeping that high sugary drink is not good. And that's why I'm not really a proponent of fruit juices. I know it's like sounds healthy, but really if the fruit is not bound with the fiber and they separate it, then you end up with just spiking your glucose, and that's not good. Refined carbs, these are the white breads, pastries, and all these things increase inflammation and basically convert over to sugar. So that's one of the things you want to try to avoid. And trans fat, like margarine, yeah, back in the day, do you remember, Ken, all the margarine commercials? Like, I can't believe it's not butter. Are you old enough for that?
Parquet, yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, my gosh. And everybody thought that was the most healthy thing. That's why you have to be so, so, so careful whenever, you know, new things come along and it's just getting pushed on the market. And then you're like, oh, that's the best thing because it's replacing butter, which we thought was really bad at that point. But now we realize that it's not bad. It's the trans fats, like the fried foods, the margarine, all that stuff can be linked to clogged arteries. So now I always bring this up because my uncle, who's like, I think he's like 84, and the man smokes 3 packs a day, and he's like eating like hot dogs and spam. I mean, he's garbage. And he can't see anymore because he smoked so much that he's developed, you know, macular degeneration. But still, his arteries held up. So that's how important our genes are, right? So we have to look at our genes and look at that and go, okay, genetically, what can we do? Because if you have the genes that aren't that great, then you're going to have to make some lifestyle choices to not upregulate a gene for diabetes and high cholesterol. But the beauty is, and I've spoke about this numerous times, is epigenetics, which just means that we get the control back, right? We get the control back over our bodies by making certain choices so we can upregulate and downregulate those genes that our parents passed on. And in fact, what I do as well is I take people's DNA. I don't take their name, but I get their DNA, and I actually analyze their DNA for them and tell them exactly like a blueprint of what they need to watch out for genetically so that they can make decisions that can hopefully not, you know, cause something to go wrong. So I love doing that because it gives you like that foundation and you're able to increase certain nutrients or decrease certain lifestyle choices, and that can really be helpful. And here's another one. So now I just mentioned those foods. So for those of you who are not asleep and paying attention, literally, you want to pick one heart-healthy food from this list that you want to add to your diet, and you want to write it down. So it could be something new or something you already enjoy. So we want to take out of the berries, leafy greens, nuts and seeds, and fish or olive oil. Just pick one. If you already enjoy it, you know, that's great. If you've never tried it, you know, start incorporating that into your diet. And you want to try to put it in, you know, like at least a couple of times a week for sure. I know it's hard to eat fish that many times, but it's not, you have to, you know, berries you could eat every day pretty much. The other things that we're going to look at is, you know, you have to have really good habits to have a strong heart. So I always get my patients to walk 10 minutes a day, every day, just so they get used to walking outside, and they're retraining their brain to want to walk, because a lot of times we get into bad habits and we don't realize that, you know, 2-3 months walk by and, or go by and we don't do anything. So 10 minutes a day, and then they'll find themselves walking longer and longer within that 10-minute period. But really, if you it can walk at least 30 minutes a day, that actually does have a significant effect on your heart and can reduce heart your heart disease risk. The other thing we want to look at is stress. Chronic stress raises blood pressure, so deep breathing really helps in that area. And they actually had, I wish I had the name of it, but there was an actual device several years ago that you would listen to, and it was music, and you would try to breathe according to the music. And it was actually made to lower your blood pressure, which I thought that was a really cool way of lowering your blood pressure. You want to aim for sleep. Sleep is very important, and you don't realize it until you lose it. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, I really wish I had sleep again, because sleep is so crucial. And you want to aim for 7 to 9 hours a night, but you don't need to go, you know, anything. At Emory, we learned anything under 6 is not good. Anything over 9 is not good. So 7 to 9 is a good amount of time for heart recovery. And obviously, staying hydrated, dehydration makes your heart work harder. So that's one of the things that we want to focus on. And the other thing is, if you are having cholesterol tests, you know, you're supposed to fast, but you don't have to fast water. And people who are hydrated and get their cholesterol checked, their cholesterol numbers have been found to be lower, which makes logical sense, right? Because, you know, you're hydrated and everything's flowing better. So, you know, before the cholesterol test, don't try to binge water, but just stay hydrated consistently, and that's going to help the cholesterol, especially if you're testing it. And now we're going to do another interactive moment. This is just a 10-second breathing exercise. So we're going to do this together, and it might be a moment of silence, but we're going to inhale deeply just for 4 seconds. I want you to hold it once you've inhaled for 4 more seconds. And then I want you to exhale slowly for 4 seconds. So it's a 4-4-4 where you inhale deeply 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, and exhale slowly for 4 seconds. And you can repeat this one more time. So we're going to inhale through our nose, hold it for 4 seconds, and exhale slowly for 4 seconds. And then we're going to write this down, because you need to kind of ask your body at that point, how do I feel? Do I feel relaxed, refreshed, or calm? And those are things that, if you're feeling stressed, that's the easiest way to calm yourself down, is to do some deep breathing exercises. The other thing that's very good that helps reset your sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system is to take one finger and close one nostril and breathe as deep as you can, hold it for 4 seconds, and then hold the other nostril and breathe out that same nostril. So it's called alternate breathing. And when you do that, it actually resets the sympathetic nervous system. It helps calm down cortisol. It's really, really good. And I used to work with a chiropractor years ago, and we worked in a clinic. And it was amazing. I don't know how this happened, but they gave me a clinic. It was like a $250,000 clinic. Now, I didn't own the clinic, but I decided to put chiropractors in the clinic because I thought, of all people, truck drivers need chiropractors, and I was handling more of the nutrition portion of this, so coming up with, driver body fuel to help these drivers. But the one thing I noticed is when they would come in to get their DOT physicals is their blood pressure was always high. So there is something called white coat syndrome, where people will have great blood pressure, they go to the doctor, and then when they walk in, their blood pressure just shoots to the roof, and then when they go home, their blood pressure goes down. So a good doctor will have them monitor their blood pressure for a period of a week or so, and then retest again, and not base that one elevation and write a prescription. So because they know that people experience that. So that's one of the things we have to be careful of. If you do go in, I would even say check your blood pressure even before you go in, and just come in with a chart. Say, look, this is what my normal blood pressure is. And then if it changes drastically while you're at the doctor's office, it could be white coat syndrome. And there's actually a little acupressure point between the thumb and your pointer finger, that little fleshy part in that area, that you can push down and hold it for a period of 3 to 5 seconds and then recheck the blood pressure, and it's actually lower. I did that with the truck drivers to help them with their DOT physicals, and it seemed to calm down. It was either that, Jen, or it's because I was holding their hands. I don't know. I don't believe it was that.
Might have been both.
It could have been both. And another thing we're going to do here is just know that your emotions definitely affect your heart. So laughter, they've shown, in studies, actually, it lowers blood pressure. It improves circulation. Gratitude reduces stress and lowers your heart rate. And gratitude in the brain actually uses a different part of the brain than worry. So whenever you're starting to feel worry, you need to shift it and start being grateful. Even if you don't feel it, start speaking it, that you're grateful for anything that you're, I don't care if it's small, doesn't matter, but it actually changes your brain. So what your brain, the area of your brain that's focusing on that, they can't focus on gratitude and worry simultaneously. So that's really good. And it reduces stress. It lowers your heart rate. And love and connection, social bonds improve your overall heart function. They've done studies on that as well, which is really nice, which kind of goes along with Valentine's Day. So right now we're just going to think of one thing that you're grateful for and just write it down on your sheet of paper. It can be a person. It can be an experience or something as simple as a good meal today. And what you've done is, at that point, is you're helping lower your blood pressure, but you're also shifting your brain to focus on something that's good for you and not something that's not good for you. I wanted to touch on this as well. So, you know, I go into the blood types, and we're just looking at blood type O, if you're a blood type O. And if you don't know your blood type, we do send out these home test kits all over the United States. So you can contact our office. And I'm going to give my office number just in case. It's 404-997-9989 if anyone's interested in checking their blood type. But blood type O is the hunter. They do well, actually, on high protein with lean meats and fish and veggies. Their beneficial exercise is high-intensity workouts like running and weight training. And they focus on preventing inflammation and clotting risk by reducing processed foods and carbs. So that's kind of the hunter lifestyle that helps with their heart health. The blood type A is the cultivator. The best diet is more plant-based with vegetables, with whole grains. They can still have meat. But even when I'm talking about blood type O, I always say it's not meat all the time. It's, you know, three or four times a week. You don't have to eat it all the time. And with A, I don't say never eat meat. I'm just saying just do it in moderation, but really focus on adding in those vegetables and whole grains. Their beneficial exercise is more calming activities like Tai Chi, walking, anything that's centering is really good. And we want to focus on reducing stress and inflammation to support a strong immune system, because A's can get affected. If they get stressed, their immune system can go a little, get under the weather, is what they say. Blood type B, the best diet is a balanced diet with lean meats, fish, dairy, and vegetables. Their beneficial exercise is actually moderate activities like swimming and hiking, and they need to focus on reducing stress and heart disease through their good food choices. So sometimes one blood type might be more prominent to something than the other. Blood type AB is the enigma because it's a mix of type A and type B diets together, and that includes seafood, again, with greens, a small amount of meat. Beneficial exercises is, again, a balance of yoga, moderate cardio, cycling, swimming, and they need to maintain healthy circulation, you know, by focusing on clean eating as well. That's really important. So I think if, you know, the best thing you can do is just take small actions, like I always say, because your heart is your future, right? So you just got to commit yourself to one small change for heart health. And maybe it's just adding in more leafy greens to your diet, taking that daily walk that I'm talking about, which is 30 minutes a day, or just cutting back on sugary drinks. And you just need to write it down and put it somewhere that's visible so that every day you see it, even when you get in your car, with your mirror, on your, you know, vanity, wherever you are, just that one change. I'm telling you, one change over time, then you get that implemented, you can add another change in. So you have consistency in the change process, but it's not all at once because no one can do that. We're not set up to do that. We're set up to make small changes that make significant, have significant results, but you got to do one at a time. And the other thing I want to say is your heart works for you every second of the day, so you want to start working for it. And one small step today can lead to a lifetime of better heart health. So on top of what I mentioned, we do have some really amazing products at Zuma that can really help. And one of them that we don't really think about that can actually help, and Ken, you feel free to chime in when I get through here, but Berry Balance regulates blood sugar. And blood sugar is a key to heart health. People don't realize that, you know, their blood sugar gets out of balance, they become diabetic, and then, you know, diabetes can definitely put a strain on the heart. So it's really neat to think about that one that I really people don't think about for heart. It's actually very good for heart. And obviously Cardiozyme, because that's a blend of all those sea-based nutrients that support circulation, and that's really, really good for inflammation. And our favorite, my favorite, I love, is that X2O. It's mineral-rich hydration. It, you know, gets your body more alkaline, less acidic. And, again, we're absorbing those trace minerals in. We're becoming hydrated. And when you're doing that, you're just supporting your overall cardiovascular function. And the omega. I don't want to leave that one out. Almost forgot. That's really important. So the omega-3, 7, 5 is very, very important. not only for, you know, obviously for heart, the DHA is actually the heart component. The EPA is more brain. And, you know, people don't realize that omegas are like 50% of our eyes and our brain. So we have to have that in there. It's very important. But, Ken, I was going to let you chime in here and see if you have any other suggestions or just want to elaborate on what I just mentioned.
Yeah, I do want to jump in a couple quick comments here. You know, you mentioned that calcium artery score. I think that's great advice. I think, unfortunately, our medical industry is focused too strongly on just cholesterol numbers, and there's a lot of, again, that this could be a whole nother call. I'm sure you and I could go back and forth on, you know, you have to look at not just LDL, but HDL, and you got to look at triglycerides and the ratios. I mean, there's a lot more to determining, but that calcium artery score test is a great one. So I'm glad you brought that out tonight. I also like you talked about the genetic component. You hit two things that are, I think, are super important. Number one is, yes, we have genetic tendencies, right, from our family history. That's definitely something to be aware of, but we also have choice and the ability to make better decisions, especially if we know, you know, that our family history might be weak in certain areas. I know, I'll give you an example. It's a sad story, but it's worth, you know, sharing because it is underscoring that familial connection. My stepbrother, he and I didn't have any blood relation, but his side of the family, there was a lot of heart disease and a lot of heart-related deaths, and unfortunately, he was very poor at taking care of himself and really did a lot of all the things that we know are bad, he did, and just was not a good steward of his health. And I remember when I got the call, he was a over-the-road truck driver, and he was just 33 years old, and they had found him dead in his truck because he had died of a massive heart attack at 33. And again, I looked at that, and I remember being a little puzzled at the time, and I thought, well, you know, he had all the familial background to this, and he was really not taking good care of himself. And, you know, nobody thinks about, you know, people dying at 33 of a heart attack. But in his case, that was real. And that was, my goodness, that was over 20 years ago when he had passed. So it was just kind of crazy to think that, you know, that can happen. And it's sadly happening to younger and younger people with, you know, heart disease and illness and heart-related conditions. And I like what you were saying about, you know, stress-related factor, super important, right? Anybody that's ever been super stressed out knows they probably have a much higher heartbeat and their pulse goes up, and that's a connection that I think a lot of people miss. So I'm glad you brought that out. And the one thing I was going to mention tonight that is true, I mean, you're one of those people, you love fish, you get a chance to eat a lot. I love fish. I eat it quite often. But unfortunately, there's a huge swath of the population, my wife being one of them, who hates fish. She has zero interest in eating fish. She doesn't care if it's fatty or whatever. She has nothing to do with it. So I'm very thankful that we put out this uber high quality omega-3 75 product, because that is how she gets a lot of her omega-3s that she would normally get from fish that she refuses to eat. So, I mean, I think about, you know, there's a lot of people that diet-wise, they're not maybe as good about doing those things. And that's where, of course, supplementation with a product, say, like the omega-3 75 comes in. And one other final thing I'm just going to point out, since you brought up X2O tonight, you know, probably one of the most common testimonies, I mean, we see it literally every week, somebody will say after they started using X2O in their water, is we get the testimony where they go, you know what, my blood pressure is starting to normalize. And the numbers of people over the years who doctors have taken them off their BP meds because they found X2O, stayed hydrated, and suddenly no more high blood pressure, you know, so kind of cool.
It is, and, you know, that's one of the things they don't really, you don't link, you know, because there's a lot of companies out there that have fast, you know, products that are just, there's all these different things going on now, patches and everything else, and our water is just, the X2O is just a consistent, like, foundation to anything that anyone is using. So it doesn't matter if they're on a bunch of supplements or anything. I mean, this is how I look at it. If they're not hydrated, nothing is going to really help them as far as getting to the point where they can have optimal health. And I just feel like, you know, having that is something so special that people don't even realize that this is such an amazing thing. And just a really short, I've shared this a long time ago, but I remember when I had X2O, and I went down to a beach. It was like 6:30 in the morning. It was pouring down rain. And then all of a sudden, the sky just cleared up, and we were able to go out on the beach. And I had the little green Zuma bottle, and I set it down beside my feet, and it was a church meeting. So everyone got into a circle, and, you know, the bottle ends up in the middle of the circle in front of the ocean, and everyone is wearing a lime green shirt. I didn't even coordinate it. It was like, it looked like I coordinated the bottle to be in the middle of a circle. And it was just weird. I was like, so my friend took a picture of this because it looked so like I just ordered the bottles. Like people are like, they weren't chanting or anything, but it was just, people were just standing around it in this giant circle. And it was in the perfect center, of perfectly in the middle. So I thought, okay, that's a coincidence, right? So then I guess a year later, I'm on a beach in Alabama, and I'm sitting here telling that exact story to my friend, and she goes, look behind you. And I look behind me, and there is this beautiful girl there in a lime green bathing suit with a black band. And she's the only one on the beach. Like, it was just her and her dad with a black band around, like the Zuma bottle. And I was like, what is God telling me here? I'm like, this is so cool because it comes from a natural source. It's not processed. I think you guys even put it inside of a birch tree. Like, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but you try to keep it as non-processed as possible from the coral reef. And it's just, you know, God says he's put everything here for our healing. And I truly believe that the X2O sachets are just a giant component of that healing from a foundational perspective. And to keep our hearts healthy. Yeah, I've also heard, you know, blood pressure. As long as you start using that and the blood pressure starts going down, pain levels start going down. There was someone, I think even on the website, that I think he was an 18-year-old whose blood pressure became regulated after he was on X2O for like 6 months or something like that. And I just feel like there's just such an amazing, and we can't say, hey, drink this water and your blood pressure is going to go down. But we can say that it supports anything that you do, whether it's medication or supplement, it supports it because it's just getting your body, you know, hydrated, which we are dehydrated a lot in this society. So anyway, I just wanted to share those stories with you because it was super cool. And I always remember that. And I just love those stories because it just shows that we don't even know why we're connected to certain things, and I'm just so happy to be connected to you guys for all these years.
Oh, Melissa, and the feeling is mutual, and that is an awesome story. And, there's just so many people's lives over the years have been transformed with Zuma, and X2O was always the foundation of that, along with so many of the other products that are in our line. And you're right. I mean, the topic tonight as we wrap up this call is heart health, and it is sadly the number one killer still in the United States, and a lot of people don't start thinking about their heart health until they start to be symptomatic, and that's the last place you want to start thinking about heart health. You want to get ahead of that and not have a problem. So hopefully the information that you're hearing tonight is information that inspires you to be a little bit better steward of your body and more specifically your heart health so that you don't become one of those statistics that sadly we see too many of in our modern day world. So Melissa, as always, I certainly appreciate you sharing all your wisdom and knowledge with us tonight. And even the three corny jokes were pretty good tonight.
Yeah, I did three because I was like, I might as well do three because they're all bad. All right.
Well, Melissa, again, thank you for your time and your talent and for being a part of the Zuma family. We really appreciate you.
All right,
folks, thanks for being on tonight. Appreciate you guys as well for tuning in. And remember, first and third Thursday every single month, another great call coming up here the second part of this month, so I encourage you to tune in again. And don't forget, you can always access this recording and many, many others like it right through the members section of your Zuma.com website. So until next time, folks, take care. Look forward to talking to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, good night.